On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk with JP Filling.
Hey, Doug, when we talked in Indy, you said if a quarterback's there at 15, that's the easy choice. In the time since, you guys have traded for Case Keenum. How has that changed your approach to this draft looking at quarterbacks?
Well, the National Football League is a quarterback league. And Case has done a good job over the last couple of years, you know, where he's been. And, you know, we needed a quarterback, and we was able to trade for Case. But that does not put us out the rim of picking a quarterback if it's one there that we like at 15. We don't know who's going to be there at 15. We got some guys that we do like. And if those guys are there, that's a discussion that has to be had. And I'm sure we'll come up, and that's a possibility that would happen. But it's also with a lot of other players in this draft that can help us. You know, we'll look at it from that standpoint, too. It all depends on the board. Who's highest on the board at that particular time. That quarterback is the highest, and we got a pick. 9 out of 10 is going to be the quarterback. But if it's not, that's a discussion.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. It is draft week. The week you've been waiting for, honestly, for months, is here. Thursday night, we're going to know a lot more. Friday, we're going to be all over it all week. We got streams. We got shows. We got podcasts. As always, brought to you by the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You should do the same thing. We're in the big man's car. Mitchell, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
This is the least comfortable I've ever been in your car, but you made a very legitimate effort to give me a spot, and I appreciate that.
I was actually giving Tarek a spot, but
Tarek El-Bashir is here as well. Tarek, what up, man?
I got about an extra 12 inches of leg room here, but I'm not giving it to you, JP.
No, it's not the leg room. It's the giant protruding box of
camera gear.
Of camera equipment, yeah.
Well, Hockey Mitch is in between seasons, so
Hockey
I'm kind
Mitch
of
is working the draft,
back and
huh?
forth here.
I gotcha. All right, so I want to talk about the Doug Williams presser that just went down. But before we do it, I want to kind of break down the week ahead. So today is Monday. Doug Williams just talked. Tuesday, we will have so Monday at 2:30, I'm doing a podcast stream with Josh Norris. That podcast will come out Tuesday morning for y'all to listen to. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 12 to 1, Redskins Talk podcast stream shows. You can watch them exclusively on the My Teams app with Pete and Mitch. That's going to be a lot of fun. Thursday night, there's an intense, we are covering the Redskins draft all the way on the My Teams app. That'll start probably 7:45, 8 o'clock, and go through their pick. And you will get Redskins-specific analysis on every move as it happens. And then we're going to be back next Monday. We're going to do a wrap-up stream, 12 to 1, on the My Teams app. So that's all that stuff. Anything I left out there?
No, we got a lot coming at you, though.
All right, so let's do this. I'm going to do my big takeaway from the Doug Williams press conference, and then I'm going to ask both of you to do the same. My biggest takeaway from the Doug Williams press conference: last year, going into round one, I knew with some level of certainty, with a high level of certainty, that the Redskins were taking either Daron Payne or Vita Vea. They needed help on their defensive front. It was still obvious, despite taking John Allen the year before, they had to go D-line. This year, going into Thursday, I know position groups they're going to address. As far as pick 15, round one, I got no idea where they're going. I honestly think Haskins is in play. I think Daniel Jones is in play. I think an edge rusher is in play. I think trading back is certainly in play. What Doug Williams said that I think kind of stood out the most is we don't know what's going to happen until the 14 teams in front of us make their decisions. And then we'll be able to gain some clarity. So that's my biggest takeaway, is that this thing is wide TF open. Tarek, I go to you.
I agree with you. I do think that that there are a number of scenarios that we could see play out here. And, of course, you have to see what happens with the 14 picks in front of you. But I think it's even more specific than that. It's going to come down to what happens at number one. Do the Arizona Cardinals take Kyler Murray? And does that, in turn, make Josh Rosen available? Because if the Redskins, if that is the scenario that plays out, and the Redskins don't make their best offer to make that happen,
Rosen,
that's a problem.
What do you think their best offer should be?
I think that both teams are going to be in a position of weakness at that point. At that point, Arizona is not going to have a whole lot of leverage because they just took Kyler Murray, and now they have a guy who clearly, as the number 10 pick last year, is not going to want to be a backup.
You can't keep them both.
You can't keep them both.
No.
The Redskins are in a position of weakness because everyone knows they have a quarterback who's going to cost $41 million against the salary cap the next 2 years.
Right. That ain't playing.
And that ain't playing. So can Arizona ask for the 15th pick? Absolutely. Will the Redskins have to sort of think about it? I mean, I'm sure they're not going to want to give it up, but they might have to think about it. You know, can they get away with a second and a player? Look, we're kind of just throwing it out there right now, but I do feel like it is wide open. The thing that I really took away, JP, was that is the third time I've heard a Redskins executive say that they are not intending to trade up into the top 10. I mean, he said,
on the record, we are not
moving up. If the guy they want is going to be available at 17, 18, 19, I can see him trade back and try to add a pick later in the in a later round.
But I think a lot of that comes down to they might not be willing to trade up because they assume Kyler Murray's going one. But if Kyler starts dropping to 3 or to 11 and he's still around later, I mean, I think that drastically changes things.
It does, absolutely.
And to me, that was the biggest takeaway was Doug talking about the quarterbacks. If the guy they like is there at 15, they're going to take him, which obviously should be the case. But you know, the more these guys talk about what they're going to do at QB for next year, the more legs it has that maybe that's where they're looking to go in the first round.
So I tweeted this out. I don't know if you guys listen. I did a lot of yard work this weekend, so I listened to a boatload of podcasts this weekend. I caught up on Kuiper. I caught up on Daniel Jeremiah. I listened to a lot of these. This morning, Schefter said there are three teams really in the running for Rosen, and he did not name the Redskins. He named the Giants, the Chargers, and the Dolphins. We all know that this is the time for misinformation.
Right.
But do you think the Skins, do you think if the price tag gets to a first rounder, the Skins are out on Rosen? Because that's the information I've gotten all along dating back to the combine.
To me, I think so, yes. I think part of the reason that you make the trade for Case is that you have a guy who has been healthy, has been a starter in the league, has been a successful starter in the league. Granted, it wasn't last year, but 2 years ago. And they're not. They don't want to be forced.
He wasn't terrible last year.
He wasn't terrible, right? He wasn't good. He wasn't terrible. Right. He was fine.
He was really good the year before.
He was solid with a great offense.
And the point being that they have that specifically. Yeah. I said, Doug, you know, when you told us you want a quarterback at 15, that was before you traded for Keenum. Now that you have Keenum, does that shift things for you? And Doug's like, not really. Basically, was his answer, right? He's like, I wouldn't take us off the teams looking for a quarterback at 15.
And I think they feel like Case is there. He's a rock. He's a fallback option. Worst case scenario, you don't end up with anybody. There's a lot of places this team has to upgrade, as we've talked about forever.
I don't think the Redskins are inclined to give up the 15th overall pick for Josh Rosen.
I don't either, man.
I still think Arizona is going to ask that of Washington, where they might not ask for the first round pick of the other teams that are involved. But they know that the Redskins are over the proverbial barrel. I mean, they are in the worst
spot. But aren't the Giants too?
They are, but they at least have Eli for another year, right? I mean, the Redskins
Hold on. You think Eli's better than Keenum at this point?
I would say no.
But the Giants are also in some form of rebuilding, too. And the Skins refuse to admit that.
The Skins are rebuilding. They're just not
saying. Yeah, whether they say it or not, it's still
They say they're close.
They're retooling.
Sure.
Revamping on the fly.
But you saw last year how successful that the team could be with solid yet unspectacular quarterback play when the defense is playing well. You can get the same out of Case next year that you got out of Alex the first 9 weeks.
I think the legitimate biggest, I think there's an internal battle, and not that sides have been drawn, but that they don't know what to do inside that building. And I'm pointing at Redskins Park as I sit in the parking lot in Mitch's car.
Aggressively.
I think there is an internal battle in that building if they do need to rebuild or if they really are competing for this season. And I think if you got some truth serum in all parts over there, people would believe on both sides. And I recognize that life in the NFL is such that you have to be competing every year. Very few people are afforded, you know, what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan got out in San Fran, where you get a 6-year deal and, all right, we know you're going to suck for 2 years. The Skins aren't afforded that. There's no 3-13, everybody's fired.
Jay Gruden and the people who are loyal to Jay Gruden, meaning the staff that he has brought aboard, we clearly know what side they are on.
They have to compete.
They have to compete. They have to win and make a run for a playoff berth this year. No doubt about it. They were 6-3 when Alex Smith broke his leg last year. I mean, guys, remember, before he hurt himself in against Houston, we were talking about potential first-round matchups. I mean, this team was headed for the division crown.
Hosting a playoff game.
Yeah.
Right. And then everything changed in the blink of an eye.
And that's why I think that the signing of Case was so big internally in Redskins Park, in that I think they believe they can get Alex Smith out of Case Keenum.
I think you still need a QB behind him, but
not only do you need a QB. Sorry to jump in.
Dude,
you need another QB after that. Like your backup is 32 years old.
Right.
Like you need a McSorley.
Coming off a broken leg and surgery.
Right.
You need a McSorley or a Stidham or someone in like a fifth or sixth round who can be a guy.
Right.
Like,
I think we all agree that there's going to be a late round quarterback taken in some capacity.
I don't know if there's a early round quarterback taken. Right. That they're taking if they take somebody between Thursday and Friday night, they're not taking another one Saturday.
Interesting.
Jay's not going to keep.
He's not. Yeah, you're right. He's not going to keep
roster. Yeah.
He doesn't want to keep three QBs. That's fair.
Maybe you take a seventh rounder because you want to try to get him to the practice squad or something. But I don't think the investment to me will be Thursday or Friday night. I very much believe that.
If Josh Rosen is acquired by the Redskins, a huge if. We have no idea if he's even going to be available. Who do you guys think? Which of the two others are gone?
Case and Cole.
Yeah.
I think we
if Case isn't going the other way, I guess it's
right, assuming Case isn't part of that trade. So, Tarik, I have maintained kind of throughout, I want to say since Indy, 1 in 5. Those are my chances of the Skins acquiring Josh Rosen. It's not high, it's 20%, it's not low, it's not 2%. I am 80% saying that it's not going to happen, but I think there's a 20% chance that it happens. Where are you on that?
I'm going to go higher than that. I'm not going to get to 50%.
This is the Skins acquiring him.
The Skins acquiring. I'm going to go 40%. I think that they have an opportunity here to add a player who has a high ceiling, a player they liked coming out of UCLA, a player that clearly is not going to be on Arizona's roster if they trade for Kyler Murray. And given the fact they're going to have to pay out, unless they do some, you know, sorcery with their salary cap, Alex Smith is going to count $20.4 million this year, $21.4 million next year.
A lot of dough.
That's 12% of your salary cap to a guy who's not playing. You have to find a way around that. This league is about two things, a good head coach and a good quarterback, and you can fill in the rest of the
board. Doug said it's a quarterback league.
Yeah.
Do you like Rosen better than Haskins Jones?
He's more ready, for sure, having played, 13 games last year.
I did a lot of digging on Jones, and I am not making the case for Daniel Jones. I've never been really a Jones guy. But what talent people will tell you is he can play right away, and I don't think he's going to make the kind of mistakes that kill you with rookie quarterbacks. Now, I know Rosen would be another year in the league, so he's not a rookie quarterback, but he still makes those crazy mistakes. I think Haskins is not ready to play, and if he's forced to, will make a ton of mistakes. I think Locke will make a lot of mistakes. That's his nature. If the team is looking to win right now, do you think Rosen helps them more than Jones?
Yes.
Okay. I think Rosen is the better prospect. I just think Jones might be safer right away.
As far as the trade goes, I think you guys were calling me super bullish because I said it was 30%
chance that Rosen. 40.
Tarik went 40. I'm going to stick at 30, but I also think there's a 25% chance or so that the Cardinals don't take Kyler Murray one, and that shakes up everything when that happens, if that happens.
If they don't take Kyler Murray one, They have undercut their new head coach that they just hired and just fired a guy after 1 year.
Yeah.
And kind of took a leap to hire Cliff Kingsbury, a guy that couldn't win 10 games in college, who got fired, to hire him to run an NFL program, and they're completely cutting his legs out in his first pick.
If you're Steve Keim, how do you go to ownership and go, yeah, that guy that I said last year was our guy, we traded up to get him, and that coach, yeah, both of them didn't work out. We're going to start all... I mean, that's a hard conversation to have. I mean, I'm sure it's already happened.
Right.
But,
right.
I mean, like, if I'm Bidwell, I'm like, what are you... What? What?
Hell yeah, man.
How did you get this job?
It's wacky.
Well, yeah, you guys probably going to bury me on this, but do the Redskins have the best chance of winning next year with Case as your starting quarterback?
Over Rosen or
first-round pick?
Yeah.
I mean, I
think Case is...
If you're talking about you need starter. To win right now... Is Case not the best option?
I think that's what Jay's saying, and I think Jay says, get me Hockenson, get me an edge
rusher.
That's
what I'm saying.
You know one thing?
That's where I was going with it.
I don't think we're talking about enough is a corner. I wanted to ask Doug about Dunbar's status.
Jay says he's good to go.
Yeah, Dunbar was posted. He posted a workout on, and we've seen all these Instagram workouts.
But have we seen him running?
Jay said at the breakfast at the owner's meeting in Arizona, he's good to go.
Okay. I think... All right, so today is Monday. The draft is Thursday. Chances they draft a quarterback. All right, chances the 15th pick is used for a quarterback. That means they take one or they trade for Rosen. Mitch, you start.
I think 10%. I think it's pretty low.
But you're 40% that you're 30% that they're going to get Rosen. You're saying
I think if they get Rosen,
that's a
I don't think they're giving up
Friday afternoon picks.
I don't think they're giving up 15 to get Rosen. I think they want to pick at 15. They want that top tier, top end talent player, and I don't think that 15th pick is going to go towards QB.
Look, I'll tell you this.
Where you at, Tart?
I talked to someone who has relative knowledge of what the Redskins would like to do at 15, and every time I just threw out names, I felt like I got... Look, I didn't get any answers. I just felt like I got a more positive, like, you know, eyebrow raise
right.
when I threw out edge rushers. I have a feeling that is what they want to take at 15. Was
it the Brian Burns?
Brian Burns, Cleland Farrell. Someone that they can plug in day one who can battle with Ryan Anderson for that job. Opposite Ryan Kerrigan, because...
Well, I think Burns, his first year in the NFL, is a situational guy. He doesn't have the freight, but like he's a third-down pass rusher.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You know who feels like a Redskins guy? Jashai Polite. In the second round.
Yeah.
A guy who was mocked super high.
It's an awesome name,
had
too.
Had some bad workouts, hurt his hamstrings or whatever, put on some weight. He's the type of guy that I feel like the Redskins kind of go after, guys who have a real high ceiling but dropped for various reasons.
That guy to me is Deontay Thompson.
Yeah.
A safety with
a
guy that helps, but I don't know. I also have heard the Skins really like Alabama, exactly.
Yeah, right.
I've heard the Skins really like Darnell Savage, too.
Okay. Yeah.
Local guy, Terp. We did that. I am the prospect with him. AJ did a good job with
you
those.
You think Darnell Savage, you're saying if the Redskins end up trading back, is
no,
I'm
saying
you're
talking about second round picks.
Or second round, yeah.
So, but we cut you off there.
That's cool.
Think it's edge rusher?
I do think it's edge rusher. I think the ideal scenario for the Redskins is to somehow wrangle Rosen, alliteration there.
I like it.
Away from Arizona. It was only two words. Away from Arizona without giving up pick number 15.
I think that's the home run.
A home run, whether it's a second and a player, whether it's a third and a player, whatever it is, you get Rosen, and then you can address. I am totally in on the fact that the Redskins defense is the best unit by far on this team. It's their best
for
chance
sure.
of winning next year. Add to it. Double
Special
down
team.
On it.
Did you Special try to ask that? Good. Somebody tried to ask that to Doug, and I think it got like misinterpreted.
Dave Aldridge tried to ask, and I don't think he quite
I think Doug was taking it.
It
as like what side of the football is better prospects
right.
in the draft or whatever. But I was on the radio with Doc, and I made that exact case. Like, the Skins defense could be a player away from being a top 10 group. The Skins offense... Unless that quarterback is Patrick Mahomes, they're a player away, but it's a dynamic quarterback, and I don't think any of us believe they're getting that at 15.
You also can't pinpoint
for
who that player
year.
Is.
Right.
Like, you can't pinpoint, even if somehow they end up with Kyler Murray at 15 and don't have to trade any picks or anything to get him, it's not like you can say Kyler is going to step in and this offense is going to be good.
So, for me, the percentage chance
Did you give us a percentage, Tark?
You said edge rusher.
Edge rusher.
What's your percentage chance they take QB at 15? Or they use the 15th pick to acquire a quarterback?
25.
Okay. That's exactly where I'm going. 1-4.
Yeah.
I think they got a 1-5 chance of Landon Rosen. I think they got a 1-4 chance of using that first round pick to get a quarterback. But I don't think if the 15th pick is for a quarterback, I think it's drafting one. I don't think it's for Rosen. And we can argue a million times if that's the right or wrong decision.
I mean, and look,
I think we all are in agreement there, right?
Absolutely.
I think clearly
they're trying to relocate Tuscaloosa to Ashburn, Virginia.
Absolutely.
Tanking for Tua, man. I mean, like, what are we talking? There's gonna be some.
Talk about your alliteration.
Right.
And then they go all in for Tua next year because
right.
They're not gonna be. I don't see them as a top five draft. Who the hell knows?
Who knows?
You look at that schedule, dude. Who knows?
Yeah,
that schedule is ferocious.
How do you have them getting through the first five games?
First five. 2-3 if they're lucky.
Two and three is the dream.
It's a good anything
they're,
there.
They're 0-2 going into the week three, and then you got the Patriots a couple weeks later at home. Right, oh my god.
I got the Pats as a win here for the Redskins.
Mitch. Bullish Mitch.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Mitch.
I'm just throwing it out there.
All right. I want to talk about Matt Ioannidis. We haven't done it. Real quick, want to thank the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia, especially my guy Bob Biaggi over at Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. I legitimately went and bought a car there. I don't know what better endorsement I can give of a place than that. My wife's car is from Oarsman GMC of Alexandria.
I thought you got the pickup truck. I was like, oh, no. JP made the move.
I am not driving.
Emergency pod.
Yeah.
That would be an emergency pod on the spot with Bob Biaggi.
I am not driving an Oarsman vehicle. Hopefully that gets fixed someday. But my wife sure is.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Manning steps up, going to get hit. Ioannidis again! Second sack of the game for Matt Ioannidis back at the 28.
Any other draft stuff to address? I just wanted to quickly touch on Matt Ioannidis. We haven't done it. I think it was a smart move. I think of all their offseason moves, and Landon Collins, Case Keenum, Adrian Peterson, if you can call Reuben Foster an offseason move, I think the Ioannidis move is the smartest.
Where's Brandon Sheriff?
I think they got it done early.
They haven't
early.
Got it done.
Got to get it done.
Got to get Sheriff done. But
you wonder if it's going to get done?
We're past the window of when they typically, or we're like
we're
in that
in the
window.
Middle of the window.
We have now
window.
Until camp.
Yeah.
Now until camp
right.
is the
yeah.
window.
Yeah.
But for all the talk about Sheriff, Ioannidis was going way under the radar. They signed him for probably a better deal than if they had to wait a year.
Hell yeah.
I mean,
if he had another 7 sacks on the next year and then hit free agency, that number's going to be way better.
And I think clearly that relationship between Ioannidis and Allen and Payne, I mean, the three of them are thick as thieves on that D-line.
Yeah.
And I think that helps a lot in terms of locking him up long-term. You know, you got all three of those guys together.
They're 21, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
But Tim Settle also, I mean, not to shortchange him.
Doug Williams, a minute ago, talked about not only did Ioannidis make game-changing plays every time he's in the lineup, he is remarkably efficient. He doesn't even get out there that much.
Per snap numbers are off the hook.
They are off the charts. I want to say he's like a top 5 or 6 guy, according to Pro Football Focus, in terms of pass rush efficiency. I mean, like he's...
And available. He's a guy who plays through a lot.
Yeah, he's had a couple of nicknames.
Yeah, but I don't know that I would say available. Durability is probably the biggest question mark.
But when he can go, he's out there. I mean,
if played with. I could go. I'm out there.
No, with your ankle is bothering you, you would not go. You would be on the sideline. He would wrap up his hand in a ball in a club and be out there getting sacks, flossing all over people.
I don't know. I would not say availability is his biggest strength. I think strength is his biggest strength.
Yeah,
I didn't say it was his biggest strength.
Dude. I just said it was one of.
You know, have you ever talked to him?
Yeah.
He used to be a talker, but you used to be able to go.
He's a very funny guy.
I feel like I interviewed him one time last year.
Oh, oh.
And it was about the Get Back coaches. I was doing like a funny story. He literally, after my second question, he literally kind of like laughed and was like, "I don't have time for this." And like walked off. But he was being funny about it, you know. So that might have been the last time I talked to him all year.
So he is like, there are Get Back coaches.
Yeah.
He is the Get Back coach of the D line. Pre-game when I'm shooting them warming up,
yeah,
he's always the guy that like he will like growl and be like, and then he'll turn around and flash a big ass smile and be like, yeah. Ah. And I'm like, all right, now you got me, buddy.
He's funny.
He's a good dude,
and he like has like actual jokes, like,
yeah,
oh, knock knock or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's some of that.
Have you got him?
Not a knock.
Matt Ioannidis knock knock joke.
He's told me one joke that I can't say here, okay. But there's like one legitimate joke.
Did it start with knock knock?
No, it didn't. Okay. Sorry, that's misinformation. It's that season. All right, I think we're done here. What do you guys? Are we all out here all week? What do you got? Where are you going to be, Tar? Yeah.
I got to watch the Capitals tonight.
So win Game 6, get rid of this damn Carolina team.
The problem is if the Caps win tonight, Game 1 of the next series will be on Thursday night of the draft.
Oh, which, Mitch, really? Mitch, you can't cheer for Game 7. Because then that could
But then you can't cheer for Game 7, so it's all it's up in the air.
There's not an ideal scenario.
So Game 7 would be Thursday night, if or they Game lose 1 tonight, would be Thursday night?
No, Game 7 will be Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Oh, that's way better.
And then the next series, if they win that Game 7, would be Friday, Sunday. If they win tonight, Monday night, Game 1 will be Thursday night, concurrent with the NFL draft.
Right.
Where you'd be here, right?
I'd be here. I actually just had this conversation with my boss. I'd be here watching hockey on my phone.
Where would you be?
I will be here as well.
I think that happened last year because I remember watching Penn's Caps.
It did.
But it's
happened
such
a lot.
A zoo,
it's
like, happened I feel a lot. Like I watched the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the NHL seems almost to go out of their way not to schedule around the NFL. Maybe I'm crazy.
They have their schedule. They don't concern
My
themselves.
My wife asked me this. You know how the NBA, the finals are set? Like the finals are going to be June 3rd and June 7th and whatever else. Is the Stanley Cup set or do they just go with... The flow of the
so
playoffs.
So there's two things about hockey is they won't let the second round begin until every first round game is over.
Oh,
I know in the NBA.
Even West and East?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, at the start of the year, you will get a calendar of important dates, and it will say July 7th, last possible day for the Stanley Cup.
Gotcha.
So they have a parameter, but it's not like the finals are going to begin here and, you know, and end here.
And the cup is wide open this year. Yeah. With Lightning and Flames losing.
The pathway is opened up for the Capitals.
Yeah. All they have to do is walk right through. I'm terrified of having to face Trotz and the Islanders.
Sure. Sure. But it's better than facing Pittsburgh, and it's better than having to face Tampa.
Certainly better than having to face Tampa.
Yeah.
So,
or go to Calgary in the final.
Right.
I don't know that I will see you, Tark, until Thursday night.
All right.
What is your pick? 15.
15. I'm going to go Brian Burns, Florida State.
All right. Burns is really interesting, man. I did kind of a deep dive into him, and I think one thing that I love is that he's an effort guy. You see him chasing down running backs on the backside of the play, stuff like that. I really like that.
High motor.
And usually the Skins love high motor guys, but they're high motor, big, strong guys. Ryan Anderson, Trent Murphy, that's their mold. This guy's a different mold. He is fast, flexible, off the edge, leverage type player. I really think they could use that. I worry about his weight, and when tackles get their hands on him, that he's not going to be able to turn the corner. He's got to be really, really fast, or he's got to bulk up.
I agree. Yep. I agree on all those points.
So I think I almost like Farrell better because I think he is going to produce no matter what, just based on how he played at Clemson.
So he's a 4-3 guy, but they play so much 4-3, it's not that big a deal, right?
He's not a traditional D-end even, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
He's not nearly as dynamic as Brian Burns.
Hell no.
But could be.
Right. It's upside versus safe, I think, with those guys.
Yeah.
But Farrell doesn't have, to me, a real NFL position.
I agree.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it tough.
Yeah.
Burns, one thing that this team doesn't have is an OLB that has the speed to maybe cover.
Yes.
I think Burns could cover. Which shouldn't be forgotten either.
And Burns and Ryan Anderson, I think, would work very well in concert together.
For sure, for sure. All right, we got to go. Thanks, Tart.
Yeah, anytime.
All right, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia, that's who we ride with, that's who you should ride with. Big news, Mitch. Did you know there's a Matchbox in Bethesda now?
No.
Yeah, dude, it's like right on, I don't know what that street is anymore. Where was Barking Dog? What's that street?
Huh. There's a Matchbox there now?
Yeah, dude, it used to be like an Austin Grill or something like that. That is now a Matchbox, so we need to get over there.
Yeah, we do.
Is
that the thing with the flame out front?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that place.
Dude, there's one in One Loudon, which is pretty awesome.
I think I've been there.
Yeah. We should get, I don't know, we're going to be here all weekend. Are you doing this undisclosed location thing on Saturday availability?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. We'll reveal that and more. Yeah. Watch for all the streams. Follow us all on Twitter. Tarek, what's your Twitter?
Tarek_El Bashir.
JP Finley, NBCS.
Mitch_Tischler.
All right, and make sure you're watching all the streams Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, noon. That's what you need to know. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.